Hi, I'm Nicole, and I'll be reading tonight's Bible passage from 2 Timothy 1, 15 to 18. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus.
Thanks, Nicole, for reading for us, and happy Mother's Day. We've got some woos there, a little, kind of little woo. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? Oh, we got a bit of a woo then too. Do you remember 2 weeks ago we were talking about Eunice and Lois? So I'm just going to pull this up on the screen. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. How fortunate is Timothy, as we open up Timothy, how fortunate is Timothy to have a mum and a grandma with a sincere faith that open the scriptures with him? This is a privilege. This is a blessing. In my own family, actually, here's a photo of my mother. There you go, my mum and dad. That's from February this year at my dad's birthday. Went out to dinner in Manly and got a quick photo. Someone said, you've got very straight teeth in your family today. So there you go. There's my family. My mum is a treasure, and she's lovely. She's healthy. She's well, and she's devoted to the Lord. And she raised me to know the Lord. And actually, she picked it up from her mum. My grandmother used to live up in Hazelbrook in the Blue Mountains, and I'd go visit. I remember going with her to scripture classes that she was teaching in the local school. As a young kid, she took me along, and I was able to share in that. So I personally owe it to my mum and my grandma that I'm a Christian and that I'm part of the life of the church. And I resonate a lot with this Lois and Eunice story, and I thank my mum. So on Mother's Day, I want to pause on this. I want to pause and honour mothers. It's an amazing gift when a mother is able to pass on the good news of Jesus to their children. But it's not like that for everyone, is it? Now I wonder if your mother taught you about the Christian faith. That is a blessing. But so many different experiences we all share in this church. And I know churches that deliberately don't celebrate Mother's Day. There's churches in Sydney that don't celebrate Mother's Day because there's so many people that come to church with all kinds of feelings and difficulties associated with Mother's Day. And some are hurt by their mothers. Some have lost their mothers. Some don't know their mothers. But then there's the other end where those that want children that can't have children, those that have lost children, those that have had abortions or given up children, those who have difficult children, Mother's Day can be very messy. So we come to church with mixed emotions from different experiences, and we try... We don't know what people are going through today. We don't know what people are thinking and feeling as they come to church today. And I suspect across the day today, there were some people that would have stayed home because it's too difficult a day. And we just want to say, if someone's watching tonight from home that was found it just too difficult to come, we understand that life's not always what we want it to be. And we love you and we look forward to you joining us again. We miss you. Did you know Mother's Day was started in a church by a single lady who never had children after her mum died? Anna Jarvis died alone at 84 with no children, never married, never became a mother, started Mother's Day to honour her own mother. And she started Mother's Day after her mum died. And you know why we celebrate Mother's Day on the second Sunday in May? It's because it's the memorial of when Anna's mum died. So the year after, in the church, they had a memorial to acknowledge the legacy of this mum. And then over the years, carnations were sent in. A few years later, 500 carnations were sent into the church to acknowledge all mothers. And that's the birth of the Mother's Day that we do here in Australia. It comes out of America. And it's just an amazing thought that Mother's Day began in a complex setting. Mother's Day comes with grief. Did you know Anna's mum had 13 children, but only 4 of them lived till adulthood? So that's the messy situation that Mother's Day was born into. So there's a lot of things going on, but it suits a church to acknowledge mothers. And it suits a church to start a Mother's Day. Because remember in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and mother. Mother's Day has the apostrophe before the S because it's about your own mother and it's about honoring your mother. And when we say in the Bible, honor your father and mother, it's actually spoken by the Lord who understands the mess of the world. He's the one that doesn't just know all of our situations and all of the difficulties in our relationships, but he's the one that steps into the mess to redeem mess. So we thank God that he understands and knows the difficulties, and we seek to honor our mothers in line with those commandments. And there's lots of different ways you can honor mothers. It doesn't have to be through a gathering like this to celebrate Mother's Day. But it is a good thing to do to come together in church and honor mothers. So to all the mothers in the room, happy Mother's Day. And we are so thankful for the amount of love and joy that mums bring. And we're so thankful for all that's been done and given and the sacrifices made. We're grateful for you all. And if my mum watches this, happy Mother's Day, Mum. I love you very much. The outline for my talk today on the screen, mothers, ministry, mercy. And I've almost come to the end of that first point, and I've drawn on Lois and Eunice for that, as we do 2 Timothy, because there's not much really said in my passage today about mothers. But mothers are worth acknowledging. So we're spending some extended time on mothers at the start. I also love how Mother's Day started in a church, and that this lady who it's started after actually taught Sunday school for 25 years in her local church. And she spoke at events and on topics like great mothers of the Bible. So she's thoroughly a Bible background Christian lady. And I just reckon it's awesome how mums all over the world can't help but get involved in teaching people about Jesus, that they can't help but get involved in ministry to kids, in ministry to adults. I just love the fact that with all the busyness of the household, mums think it's so important that the gospel needs to be heard, the gospel needs to be shared, the gospel needs to be taught, and it needs to extend throughout the world. So we need to speak up, we need to reach out, we need to send out people who will go out, and mothers getting behind this all over the world. I also love how Anna Jarvis's mum was involved in works of mercy. A bit more backstory. While she was still nursing her infant children, she actually started mothers' clubs that made it their goal to bring hygiene for mothers and to women and to do a work that seeks to manage some of these issues with infant mortality. And they handed out medicine and they did kind things, all while she was carrying her own grief. So I think it's awesome how mums all over the world get involved in doing kind things, in partnering with the church for ministry and partnering with other mothers for works of mercy. Mothers, ministry, mercy. That's the outline for today. Let's jump into the passage and let's see this first topic, ministry. So we're going to pick it up in a second, verse 15. But just for context, the author of this letter is in prison for ministry. He thinks ministry is so worth it that he's gone to prison doing it, and he will die for ministry. That's how important it is for him. But everyone around's deserting him and giving up on the ministry. So we pick it up in verse 15. He says this, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me." including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Please don't ask me questions about Phygellus and Hermogenes tonight, because I don't know much about them. They're mentioned here, but they're not in the other parts of the Bible, so we don't know much about them. But they're just examples that would have been known in that company at the time. And what's really important is that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted Paul. So he's looking around and getting silence. They're keeping a distance. They're not involved. They've lost interest. They're disengaged. And Paul's all alone. However, there's other regions where people are coming to Paul, very few people. And the great example and the great contrast is Onesiphorus. So from verse 16, we pick up the story of Onesiphorus. And it says there, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he has helped me in Ephesus." So this is the polar opposite of everyone else who's just kind of deserting Paul. Onesiphorus is a great gospel partner, refreshing, searching, helping. Let's work through those few things. Helping. So when it says help there, it's the same idea that comes across in one of those famous Bible verses where it says about Jesus that the Son of Man didn't come to be helped, but to help. Well, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. It's where we get the word deacon from. It's the same idea of serving. And here's the idea that that Onesiphorus is actually imitating Jesus Christ as a servant and a helper. A great example. It goes on to say, back up another word, we've got that he searched hard for Paul. So this is proactive stuff. This isn't wait till you're told what to do kind of stuff. Wait till someone gives you an invitation to serve in the life of the church. Wait till someone gives you a role. This is actually, Paul didn't say, come visit me. Please pray for me. Paul didn't say, here's my prayer letter. I hope to hear from you. And Onesiphorus searched for him, looked for him, took the initiative, traveling around, asking around until he found Paul. He didn't need someone to tell him what to do. He just got on with it out of a sincere conviction that this was good. And that's what makes him so refreshing. He refreshed Paul, which is incredible that he could refresh a man in prison. That he could refresh Paul at this stage of his life of ministry. That's because Paul, all he cares about is that people would know Jesus and the ministry, and he's got a friend and a comrade in Onesiphorus who would come, not ashamed of the chains, would come and spend time with him, search him out and encourage him, no doubt with words, but just his presence would have said very much. So this is why Onesiphorus is such a joy to Paul. So this passage shows two opposites. There's those that go silent, that let them be, that desert, that just kind of slink away. And then there's those that are really searching, those that are refreshing and being helpful. And the invitation for us is to be like Onesiphorus, to be a refreshment and not leave ministries to thirst, not leave missionaries to thirst, not leave people who are serving to be on their own. It says in a pamphlet from the Church Missionary Society, we send missionaries a lot from Christchurch with the Church Missionary Society, and there's a pamphlet about supporting missionaries well. And it says there, sadly, most missionaries find that the longer they're away from home, the less they hear from people at home. There's a flurry of contact immediately following each home assignment, but as the months and years pass, the contact, except from a few faithful people, wears thin. That's sad. It's obvious, it's realistic. When we don't see people as often, we communicate less. But it's sad with all our energy. We send people into all the world because we believe in mission and we want to send missionaries. But then we get disconnected. So a great question to ask ourselves tonight. Are you a refreshment to any missionaries? Are you a refreshment to any missionaries. I could say you're a refreshment to all the missionaries, but that would be unrealistic. I'm just asking, are you a refreshment to one missionary? How is your involvement in mission? I read another pamphlet by OMF, another missionary agency that we've partnered with over the years, and they talk about having a global interest in mission, keeping a global mind, but having a personal interest in one missionary. And I think that's a really helpful way of thinking. We at Christchurch like to see each growth group partner with one missionary. So are you a refreshment to any missionary? Imagine how many missionaries we could refresh if every person in our church had a personal relationship with one missionary. It's so nice that we've got Rebecca here today. And Rebecca, you've seen as you've walked in, we've handed out pamphlets, and there'll be more information over time. You know, those joining us online, there'll be more information. You can, when you say hi, let us know and we can give you some more details if you'd like. But Rebecca's starting with us as a new mission partner, and for the next 2 weeks, she'll be with us visiting ministries, and she's doing invaluable work for the gospel. May we refresh her. We'll see a video after the talk tonight just to introduce her. Part of the issue of mission life is it's not always appropriate to get up missionaries on a live stream, and so we'll show a video, and then we'll get to know her over time. But may we encourage her and refresh her. May we be the types of people that are like, they make you energized by being in our company. So who's going to come and chat to Rebecca at the end of the service? Who's going to come on Thursday night out of your own interest to come along to the prayer night that we'll have here at the church for Rebecca? Who's going to come next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. to be part of the formal commissioning service where all of the churches that support her will come together here and we can commission Rebecca? May we refresh her. This is an opportunity now to build a connection with Rebecca. But not just a short-term connection, because it's going to be easier for the next 2 weeks. What we're really looking for is some people that will actually invest in Rebecca for the long term, which means staying in touch and keeping her in your prayers over many, many, many years to come. It starts now. Let's build a connection. So Paul, very thankful for Onesiphorus. And all he wants for Onesiphorus is for him to have mercy. So we pick up our final point, mercy. And just go back over verse 16 to 18. You'll see the word mercy there a couple of times. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. So mercy's there a couple of times. And the author Paul wants Onesiphorus to be blessed by the mercy of God. He wants him to have God's mercy. May the Lord show him mercy. May the Lord grant him mercy. Why mercy? You know, out of everything that he could say here, why is it that he wants him to have mercy? And when we give blessings, we tend to say all the best or God bless and things like that. Why has he chosen the phrase mercy? And have you ever, you know, said to someone, may the Lord have mercy on you? Why this blessing? Well, as you go through 1 and 2 Timothy, we see the story of mercy laid out a number of times. And it's the gateway to all the blessings. It's the foundation for every blessing. So I'm going to pick up a few verses out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and it says this: here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Jesus came to give mercy. That's at the very heart of the Christian faith. That is the gateway to every blessing. And the Apostle Paul is well aware of his weaknesses. He knows, he says earlier, that he was a violent man, a persecutor, ignorant, blaspheming. And then God showed mercy, and he says, if God can show me mercy, you know that he can show you mercy too. And here's a trustworthy saying that goes through every generation. What's the trustworthy saying? Christ Jesus came to save sinners, to show mercy to sinners. And so this is great news. May the Lord show mercy to you. This is a great blessing. The Lord be with you. Grace be with you. The Lord's mercy be upon you. Not in a temporary way, but in a lasting way. Because you see back in our passage, it says, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. On what day? On the day that the Lord Jesus returns. May he give you mercy when the Lord Jesus comes at the end of the world, when all things are brought into order under the Lord Jesus Christ, at that day of judgment. That's the day we need mercy. And if it's mercy on that day, it's eternal mercy. It's everlasting mercy. That's what he seeks. And so Paul's heart for Onesiphorus is a deep love for his soul. We're really good at caring for people physically if they get hurt. We're good at caring for people, you know, in family. We give food to each other and we catch up with friends to care and to listen. But how well do we care for people's souls? And how well do you care for the souls of your family members and the people around you? Paul wanted mercy from the Lord. And those who find the Lord's mercy will never thirst, biblically speaking, forever mercy with God in eternal life. That's why mothers who offer mercy to their children as their daily bread, offer the mercy of God to their children, are doing something much greater than giving their kids a typical breakfast. This is the best. That's why Ann Jarvis's mum gave her energy to teaching Sunday school for 25 years because she wanted to love people to the core of their souls and not just with food. She was extending God's mercy. Anna Jarvis's mum was so merciful. You go back through her ministry of mercy, and she started those mothers' clubs that I mentioned earlier. But then the American Civil War happened. And at that time, they needed nurses. And so mothers would volunteer, and the mothers' clubs would actually care and help injured soldiers. But Anna's mum was persuaded that they should be neutral and that they should help the wounded on both sides of the war, the Union and the Confederacy. So they were a merciful group of women. And then after the war finished, they put together mothers' groups, mothers' friendship days, for soldiers and families from both sides of the war to come together for healing and reconciliation, to come together for mercy. And I just think that's a brilliant legacy. And it only can happen out of the mercy of God, who shows the worst of sinners his grace. So I pray that Mother's Day today is a great day of mercy. I pray that Mother's Day today brings people together that have difficult relationships. I pray that it's a great day for the advancement of reconciliation in the world and in our households, that even after all the hurt and damage, there's an increase in peace made possible by the mercy of God. I want to suggest that it's good to honour mums, even mums that have caused us pain, because God's mercy is available even to the worst of sinners. And that includes us. God's mercy is for us, it's for our mums, it's for all people. God reaches out and offers mercy, and that means for all the mess, Christians have the capacity to honour even sinful mothers. Not meaning we honour sin, but we honour the Saviour who dies for sinful mothers, the God who loves them with an undying love. Anna Jarvis compares a mum's love to a carnation. Carnations apparently are a spring flower, I'm learning. And we give away chrysanthemums, in Australia, chrysanthemums. But in America, it's the carnation. And she wrote this little phrase about the carnation. The carnation does not drop its petals, but hugs them to its heart as it dies. And so too, mothers hug their children to their hearts, their mother love never dying. May this be true of your mum, but I say that this is actually even more true of Jesus Christ. He hugs us with his love until he dies. And so for all of the failure that's in our community, all around us, in our households, and perhaps even from our mothers, may the mercy of the Lord refresh your household. May the mercy of the Lord refresh your day. Let's take this message of mercy. Let's partner with Rebecca and other missionaries to take this message of mercy throughout the world. May God refresh you. Let's speak up. And let's be like Onesiphorus, with a personal connection to at least one missionary so that we can search, help, and refresh them. Happy Mother's Day, and God bless.
Well, we have Q&A now, and Elliot, you will be thrilled that the top and highest ranked question is, who are Phi, Gelis, and Hermogenes?
That's a great question. Yeah. What do you reckon, Rach?
I think you'll answer that in Sermon Extra.
Good times.
I think you gave us a helpful explanation of who they were in the sermon. So I'll...
Who did that? Unnamed? Is it anonymous?
It's called Figel. So
there you go.
Coming from the past to ask you that question. Well, let's get to some more helpful questions, perhaps. How can we go about refreshing people who are weary? How can we help people?
That is such a broad question. I always am very tailored to the situation, so it's hard to give generalizations, but I'll speak about what I observe in the people that do it best, and so if I could draw attention to Sally Sims in the care ministry in the life of our church. Just the other day, actually, I was noticing there's a beautiful lady from Morning Church that lost her husband in the last year, and Sally gave her a birthday card. It was a week before her birthday. She thought of her and gave her a birthday card. Isn't that just a beautiful, thoughtful touch? But what I've loved about Sally, as a great example for all of us, is that she's always there with a listening ear. She's always kind. And she often provides a blessing from Scripture. So today we heard about the blessing of mercy. But there's a variety of verses and passages in the Bible we could use to refresh people. And I think Sally's a great example of putting all that together. But where do I go from that question? There's so much to say. Let's chat about it after, maybe.
Great. We have a question also. What are some practical ways we can be a refreshment to and build our relationship with our mission partners?
Yeah, I love that question. Let's get better at that together. I actually have before me a document from CMS. Maybe I'll put this in the Facebook group for our congregation. But one that I love is when it talks about how to write to your mission partners, because if it's remote, a lot of it's writing, you know, sending an email. You get a prayer letter from your mission partner. What are you going to do in reply? Well, here's a few tips. In the opening letter you write to a missionary, if you're unknown to them or have met them only once, make sure you introduce yourself and explain how you came to be writing to them. Let the missionaries know that you've been praying for them. You can include personal news or news from your church or anything about daily life at home. You could also share words of encouragement, such as how you're personally encouraged by their ministry, what you're reading in the Bible at the moment, or a verse or story that will encourage them. Tell them that they don't need to write back if they don't have time, because your letter's a gift, so it's not always helpful to ask lots and lots of questions or beg for a big reply. Unless you have a very close, mutually prayerful relationship, don't include a list of your personal woes. Letters to missionaries are there for their encouragement, and if you have a problem that they can't help with, they may feel frustrated being so far away and unable to assist you. There's a practical example of how to write. And this document goes on to give tips for other creative ways to care. And so I'm going to refer you to that.
That's a great answer. Thanks. Really helpful. We also have a really great question from Liam. What are some specific ways we can be refreshments to the ministry team at Christchurch? But I might leave that for you to do in Sermon Extra. Maybe you can get some ideas
great.
From the staff
Sounds
team.
Good. All right. I'll start with you, Rach, and I'll interview you, and then we'll talk to a few.
Sounds great. we have one final question, and we'll leave the rest for Sermon Extra. This question is from Scott, who asks, how does Paul's example help us when we feel let down by fellow Christians?
Anytime the Bible speaks frankly about difficulty, it just reminds us that it is a common experience, that God understands and knows that it's true, that it's if it's in the Bible, it affirms our experience. So for one, just knowing biblically that this is a common problem reassures our hearts. I guess from there is better and worse. Onesiphorus was the great example. We can pray that the Lord will put some people like Onesiphorus in our lives, knowing that God's caring and compassionate. But in the end, I think it's the encouragement of understanding. And in this community, at this congregation, there'll be some people who feel very isolated. May we become like Onesiphorus to them. And then I would expect that the more we can be like Onesiphorus, the more people around us will come to us like Onesiphorus, and we can bless each other.
Thanks. Well, for the rest of the questions, Elliot, we'll get to them in Sermon Extra. Do you have a date?
Yeah, I'll go with Tuesday. Tuesday Sermon Extra.
Great. We look forward to it.